Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, December 6th reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress. It's titled, Two Longtime City Employees Retire, by Progress News Staff. It was 1982. Michael Jackson was moonwalking his way to the top of the radio charts. E.T. the Extraterrestrial had movie fans weeping in amazement. Herb Drinkwater was in the middle of the first of four terms he would serve as Scottsdale's mayor. And Christy Hill started working in Scottsdale's Parks and Recreation Department. Now, 42 years later, she's retiring. She said she considers herself blessed to have spent four-plus decades working Parks and Rec and Citizen Services in this wonderful city. The city has witnessed my unfolding life, she added, and I have been cared for and supported all along the way by the amazing people who make this city family. She plans to set up a clay studio, practice Pilates with her 89-year-old father, working on home design, reading, and travel. To celebrate her retirement, Christy invites friends, colleagues, and community members to join her for Cookies on the Couch with Christy at 2 p.m. Monday, December 9th at the Community Design Studio. Another longtime Scottsdale employee, Sky Larson, retired from Scottsdale Public Library last week after 25 years with the city. She started in 1999 as a contracted monitor at Palomino and Arabian Libraries before becoming a circulation aide at Arabian Library in 2000. Over the years, Sky advanced through various roles, serving as circulator supervisor at Palomino, circulation and page supervisor at Civic Center, and since 2014 as branch manager of the Appaloosa Library. And that article was titled, Two Longtime City Employees Retire. Cosanti Commons Apartments Heads to Council, by Tom Scanlon. It may sound like another of Scottsdale's growing roster of tasty Italian restaurants, but Cosanti is a budding apartment complex. Fully known as Cosanti Commons, and previously known as Sundown Commons, this would-be addition to bustling Shea Boulevard near Scottsdale Road goes before City Council Tuesday, December 3rd. The mixed-use development seeks permission for 196 apartment units throughout a three-story building. The plan disappointed some commissioners, who wanted a taller building and more apartments. Highlighted by art from the Cosanti Foundation, the project's application promises a synergistic lifestyle and appropriate balance of land uses with an enhanced pedestrian environment. Some concerned neighbors read the application and have a one-word translation, density. As Catherine Posler put it in a blistering email when the project was announced more than a year ago, I do not want to see this area rezoned and more high-density multifamily put there. Scottsdale is hemorrhaging with too many rentals as it is. This is a very crowded intersection. Lisa Reek echoed that. Even after the reduction in apartments by about a third, I'm against the building of more apartments on Scottsdale and Shea. Susan Wood's concern, in three words, too much traffic. Wood put up a survey on Nextdoor, and more than 80% agreed it would bring too much traffic and congestion to an already busy thoroughfare. But others expressed their support, both online and in emails to the city, as Cosanti sailed through Development Review Board and Planning Commission approvals. Cosanti Commons appeared poised to keep the momentum going and seek City Council approval as soon as possible. The zoning request was on the June 4th agenda, until an updated docket showed Cosanti was bumped to August 20th at the request of the applicant. Then came another granted request for more time. John Barry, the veteran Scottsdale zoning attorney representing Cosanti, is no stranger to controversy, with a client list including the Parquet and other big-ticket developers. We asked for the continuance to allow more time to speak to neighbors, Barry said, regarding Cosanti's City Council delay. Cosanti Commons tips its roof to Paolo Soleri, the famed Italian architect behind Cosanti Foundation and Arcosanti. The project, according to Barry, will provide the Cosanti Foundation, headquartered a half mile away in Paradise Valley, with dedicated exhibit space to display artwork and provide use of flex space for the Cosanti Foundation's educational programs. The proposed project is near the bustling intersection of Shea Boulevard and Scottsdale Road, Butterfield Pancake House, Caramba Mexican Food, Happy Hamburgers, Andamio Pizza, Pita Jungle, U.S. Egg, Safeway, Red Star CBD, GNC, CVS, and dozens more restaurants and shops. And that article was titled, Cosanti Commons Apartments Heads to Council. Scottsdale Sustainability Plan Tries Again by Tom Scanlon. Did you hear the one about the environment-friendly organization that was shut down for using too much carbon? That's not quite the case in Scottsdale. Even so, the city's ongoing mission to develop an eco-friendly strategy surely has used up paper, electricity, gasoline, and manpower. Scottsdale Sustainability Director Lisa McNally brings her much-maligned, frequently revised sustainability plan, which will be the city's first, if it ever passes, back to City Council at 5 p.m. Tuesday, December 3rd. According to the agenda report, work on the Community Sustainability Plan began in 2021 with support of Arizona State University and with input from Scottsdale's Environmental Advisory Commission and other community members. City Council provided feedback and direction at multiple public meetings. You can substitute harsh critique and scrap it for feedback and direction. Expressing dislike for the plan, some citizens have been much blunter than the officials they elected. At its May 21st meeting, City Council unanimously voted on the city's first sustainability plan, but only to have more workshops and outreach, punting the actual vote on the plan to a date to be determined. At that meeting, Councilwoman Tammy Caputi expressed exasperation after working on the plan for 2 years. Stressing the aspirational nature of the plan, Caputi said, "I'm a little bit confused about why everyone's coming back now and insisting it's too specific. It's easy to say what you don't like. I'd like to see what people want to see in the plan. I'm just a little confused," she repeated. Bob Littlefield, the former councilman and spouse of Councilwoman Kathy Littlefield, sent out a newsletter bashing the grossly misnamed plan. "Scottsdale citizens have never needed a bunch of bureaucrats to tell them how to do right by the environment," he insisted. Councilwoman Betty Janik and Councilman Tom Durham fired pot shots at the sustainability plan's attackers. An emotional Janik expressed exasperation after working on the plan for 4 years, decrying last-minute cut-and-paste emails. Durham razzed keyboard warriors looking for boogeymen in government. Ultimately, Janik, Durham, and other city elected officials voted to send McNally out to get more public input. New stuff. The revised plan features color-coded suggestions. Portions with strike-through in red are recommendations for deletion by SEAC, with uppercase red font, new recommended content by SEAC. Strike-through in blue font means content recommended for deletion by staff, with all uppercase in blue font meaning new content recommended by staff. The changes begin on page 4 under the executive summary introduction, Why a Sustainability Plan, continuing throughout the next 118 pages. The categories include energy, water, beyond waste, air quality, extreme heat. Some background. Since 2020, the city's elected officials have been talking about Scottsdale joining Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa, and other cities that have sustainability plans. In 2022, Scottsdale City Council identified the creation and implementation of a sustainability plan as a top priority. Target timelines came and went, still no plan, but plenty of backseat writing from city council members who tore into early drafts. During study sessions, McNeely often provided two recommendations, one from her city staff, the other from SEAC, shorthand for the Scottsdale Environmental Advisory Commission. In most cases, the SEAC goals were much more aggressive than the city staff's aims. For instance, McNeely noted Scottsdale residents and businesses pushed 3 metric tons of carbon dioxide, also known as greenhouse gas emissions, into the air in 2022. City staff asked council to reduce greenhouse gas emissions relative to 2022 by 45% by 2035 and 90% by 2050. SEAC agreed with the first part, but wanted the 90% reduction by 2040. The council consensus went with the city staff here. But that was not always the case. As council gave consensus to the SEAC recommendation for increasing tree and shrub canopy to 20% by 2030 and 25% by 2040. Other energy targets in the revised plan include reduce citywide electricity use by 15% by 2035 from 2022 levels. Reduce municipal electricity use by 15% by 2035 from 2022 levels through efficiency measures. Increase distributed solar capacity citywide to 80 megawatts by 2030 and to 500 megawatts by 2040. Reduce average energy burden to 6% or less for households by 2035. Increase the percentage of green buildings to 10% of the total by 2035. There are no revisions to the previous energy targets, energy strategy, water targets, and water strategies goals. To view the plan, you can visit scottsdaleaz.gov/sustainable-scottsdale. And that article was titled Scottsdale Sustainability Plan Tries Again. Valley Entrepreneur Inspires Young Achievers by Lee Chappelle. Among the sea of 5th and 6th graders listening attentively on an early November Monday, perhaps there's the next captain of industry, the next Bill Gates, maybe a female business role model like Renee Parsons. She was addressing the students during Junior Achievement's annual BizTown in Tempe. JA's BizTowns give aspiring young business leaders early career exploration and access to basic financial concepts. Many kids in the program come from homes with no mentor equipped to teach those skills, or from schools where business education to help move them forward is lacking or non-existent. Parsons is what BizTown students aspire to be. 6 years ago, she founded Scottsdale-based PXG Apparel, combining her passions of golf and fashion. As president and executive creative director, she has built an internationally successful company that manufactures cutting-edge golf attire stylish enough to be worn beyond the golf course. She is also director of hospitality at Scottsdale National Golf Club, as well as a member of Women Moving Millions, a global philanthropic community of people committed to large-scale investment in women and girls. Parsons delivered a message of encouragement to the students to find their passion, find what makes them happy, and find a way to build that into a professional life. "You're more apt to be successful if you're passionate about it," she said. "And it does take hard work. Nothing happens overnight. So you really need to put the work in, be dedicated, be disciplined. But that goes back to if you love it, if you're passionate about it, you are very likely to do the work because you will enjoy it," she said. Her words resonated with this group because Parsons is a Junior Achievement alumna, having taken part while in high school back in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. "And I remember it fondly," Parsons said. "I grew up in a small town, but I just recall that I was always interested in business." At 13, she began working at the Pixie, a family-owned restaurant. However, she said she had a taskmaster boss who cut her no slack despite her being the owner's daughter. "We have a very entrepreneurial family, so when I heard about Junior Achievement, I was like, wow," Parsons said. It really helped me learn about business and how to manage finances, how to think about business, making a product, selling a product, pricing a product, and then all the things that go along with running a business, like paying your bills and your overhead and all that fun stuff that when you're a kid you have no idea. She got the hang of it. Her husband Bob has his own business resume that's roughly the length of a 350-yard drive right down the middle off the first tee. He founded GoDaddy. His successes also include PXG Golf. It is his husky voice on the TV commercials saying, "Nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period," as well as Scottsdale's National Golf Club, Harley Davidson of Scottsdale, GoAZ Motorcycles, and Yam Properties. He bought Westgate Entertainment District next to State Farm Stadium in Glendale in 2018. Bob Parsons is a self-made billionaire, and Renee is on her way. Together, they created the Bob and Renee Parsons Foundation in 2012 to aid low-income and underserved populations, marginalized communities, and causes that are often overlooked or underfunded by mainstream philanthropy. Targeting homelessness, medical care, at-risk youth, education, and the needs of wounded veterans and military families, their foundation gifts nonprofit organizations that addresses these issues. In 2013, Renee and Bob signed the Giving Pledge, a public promise to give away half of their net worth. Renee said they're donating over $1 million every 2 weeks on average. You can't take it with you, right? On November 5th, the day after Renee Parsons' visit to BizTown, JA announced that it received a $300,000 grant from the Bob and Renee Parsons Foundation to expand its in-class curriculum and JA BizTown programming in low-income public schools. "It's kind of full circle for me," she said. "Through our foundation, we are looking to offer hope to the American dream to the recipients of the organizations we support. And with many of the kids being from underserved communities and who may not have those fundamentals at home that give them a leg up, we hope to make it a more level playing field. That's why we want to get involved with JA, not the least of which is I have also fond memories of it. The funding means 2,500 students will get the opportunity to participate in junior achievement programs. Junior achievement relies almost entirely of the support of community partners, individuals, and local businesses to fund its programs. This investment will give thousands more students the opportunity to gain the life skills and confidence that comes with participation in junior achievement programs," said Catherine Kakela, president of Junior Achievement of Arizona. "We are equally proud to count Mrs. Parsons among our Junior Achievement alumni." Junior Achievement of Arizona, 636 West Southern Avenue in Tempe, strives to fill a critical gap for students who receive limited real-world experience in school, particularly when it comes to money management and career readiness. Nearly 190,000 Arizona students in kindergarten through post-secondary school, the majority from low-income backgrounds, were in junior achievement programs last year. They were aided by 9,500 volunteer mentors. Junior Achievement's BizTown takes it a step further, teaching economic concepts, workplace skills, and personal and business finances in a student-sized town built just for them so they feel like they'll have a real job with responsibilities in the real world. The goal is to emerge with financial literacy, career readiness, and entrepreneurship skills without regard to socioeconomic status. It includes classroom lessons where they learn about working in and being consumers, collaborating on business plans, calculating operating costs, designing marketing campaigns, applying for jobs, voting for city officials, and exploring careers. They put their skills to work as employees for a day in BizTown, Junior Achievement's on-site learning facility that looks like a small city with more than 40 businesses and industries in its own simulated economy. They get hands-on experience as employees and consumers, paying rent, taxes, and utilities, buying advertising from the radio station, conducting TV interviews, purchasing insurance, depositing paychecks, buying other businesses' products and handling customer service. I was talking to their 5th and 6th graders, so I kept it fun and positive and interactive, Renee Parsons said. I told them that my passions are golf and fashion, and I was able to combine those into the business world, which is super fun. It's super important to find their happiness and joy and to have fun with that. I remember when I was in junior achievement that I got sort of a sense of responsibility and working as a team to bring a product to life and to bring a business to a consumer. That really stuck with me and has helped me throughout my business career. Moving on up. In her days at the Pixie, they were iconic, Parsons recalled. I was able to ride my bicycle to work back then. It was a small town, she said. It really taught me a lot about responsibility. To be to work on time. To keep your uniform clean. Remember your name tag. I had to get a social security number. And, oh, they take taxes out. I had a tough but fair boss. I remember her to this day. Her name was Ruth. I was kind of scared of her. But it was a healthy scare. That was a great first boss for me to be exposed to. And the fact that she was a woman was even better. Parsons stayed home and went to Central Michigan University in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. She worked while in college at the Comfort Inn that her family bought near campus. Initially, she majored in psychology. A statistics class that I couldn't hack was the slap in the face that helped her change course. And then, to be totally honest, I started thinking about it, and I didn't want to sit in a room all day long and listen to problems, right? She said. So I ended up with a psychology minor, which has been very helpful in my business career. I shifted to hospitality because it's what I knew. It's what I was passionate about, and I just loved it. I had the service mentality, which is what hospitality is all about. And so it just happens that CMU had a great program. Her career brought her to Scottsdale with Starwood Hotels. When she was working at Westin Kierland Resort and Spa, a friend mentioned that he had a friend he'd like her to meet. She met Bob Parsons on a blind date 17 years ago. Bob and I talked on the phone a couple of times, and then we met for a date, she said. I didn't even know what GoDaddy was back then. I was new to the Valley, so we went from there. They've been married for 15 years. As a golfer who was not totally satisfied with apparel options, she saw an opportunity in the industry and created PXG Apparel in 2018. I have a wonderful team. We saw a niche in the marketplace for the consumer and especially for women, and that there weren't a lot of options for flattering, well-fitting apparel, she said. We had an opportunity to tap into some great talent on the fashion side, and then built out a team to do what we wanted to do in our vision, which is to have the best apparel in the space, and also have apparel that can transcend golf with the quality and elevated materials that you would wear outside of golf. That's really our mission. It's been a lot of fun combining my two passions. That's the message I hope I left with the 5th and 6th graders at Junior Achievement. And that article was titled, Valley Entrepreneur Inspires Young Achievers. Now for some Paradise Valley news from the town of Paradise Valley Independent. Paradise Valley Troop graduates new crop of Eagle Scouts by Janet Perez. One of the thrills for Brian Machon as an assistant scoutmaster has been to see his son Wyatt grow from a little boy into a young man with a purpose as part of a Boy Scout troop based out of Paradise Valley. It was fun watching my son go from maybe being able to operate a microwave to now he's able to make his mother an omelet and all these kinds of things because of the cooking merit badges and all the other things where he goes on camping trips. And as a patrol, they are completely in charge of making their own meals, said Brian Machon, a medical director of clinical microbiology at Phoenix Children's Hospital and an associate clinical professor of child health and pathology at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Phoenix. Today, Wyatt Machon and three of his fellow scouts, Sam Miller, Michael Fucello, and Matthew Hodgson, have earned their Eagle Scout rank after years of hard work and service to their community. The nice thing about scouting is that it kind of reinforces some of the things that maybe they don't get an opportunity to or emphasize in school as much anymore, like being active in your community, understanding the role of citizenship, whether that means helping volunteer at their public libraries or just learning the importance of voting, Brian Michonne said. Some of the other great things, from a scouting perspective, has been how it allows them to grow and become more independent. The Scottsdale teens were honored at a special ceremony on November 26th at Valley Presbyterian Church, 6947 East McDonald Drive, which has been the home of Troop 441 since 1960. In the past 64 years, the troop has graduated nearly 300 Eagle Scouts. To become an Eagle Scout, a Scout must earn at least 21 merit badges, fill leadership roles in the organization, and complete a community service project, according to Boy Scouts of America. Wyatt's project was for Liberty Wildlife, a Phoenix-based wildlife rehabilitation and conservation group. Wyatt helped to replace gravel flooring with brick pavers inside the night shed of the organization's two California condors. When the condors were being fed, they were ingesting the gravel as well. The project fits in with Wyatt's love of animals. Wyatt's fellow scout, Sam Miller, restored a trailer damaged by a fire that the Scottsdale-based equestrian therapy organization Hunkapie can use to sell merchandise. Hunkapie's horse therapy is geared towards people with mental, emotional, and neurodivergent disorders. As a young boy, Miller used horse therapy to cope with the death of his father. Michael Fucello built and painted 6 picnic tables with benches for Mesa-based A New Leaf, which provides a variety of services for victims of domestic violence. Matthew Hodgson built 6 collapsible display stands for Phoenix-based Society of St. Vincent de Paul that will be used to distribute fruits and vegetables at its Urban Farmers Market program. "I'm just proud of Wyatt and the other 3 boys," Brian Michonne said. "It's been fun watching them grow from 10, 11, 12-year-old boys, kind of not knowing what to do, to seeing them grow into men that are now leaders and teachers of the younger boys. It's been a great evolution to watch." And that article's been titled, "Paradise Valley Troop Graduates New Crop of Eagle Scouts." You've been listening to the East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. Did you know you can hear your favorite programs anytime, on demand, at sunsounds.org? I'm your volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. Have a great rest of your day.